Welcome to the Coder Catch Up podcast. My name is Jamie Jones. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the top five-ish Rails 5 features. So Rails 5 is due to come out very, very shortly. It's not far away, if it's not already out by the time this episode airs. But I wanted to go over five-ish or so. It's not quite the top five, but there's a little bit more there because there's a lot of really cool stuff coming to Rails 5. The first thing that I want to get out of the way is that Ruby 2.2.2 and up support only for Rails 5. So if you're running anything older than that in terms of the Ruby version, then you're going to be out of luck there. Just because it's using a lot of the new APIs in Ruby 2.2. I thought it was originally 2.2.1, but I think they've bumped it to 2.2.2 simply because of some patches or something like that. But yeah, so that's a big thing to note. So if you are looking to get into Rails 5, you will need that particular version of Ruby or later. So we'll get into the rest now. We got that out of the way. The biggest thing, which I think this is probably more so massive just from a cognitive point of view, is there's no more rate commands. Everything is available through the Rails command. So basically, if you did rakedb migrate, it's now railsdb migrate, rakedb migrate, rails g migration. So that's still, everything's there. So everything's under that Rails banner. So we don't have to worry about rake anymore, which is fantastic because there's times that you do find that you'll go, oh, that's Rails this. And it's like, no, that didn't work. Oh, wait, it's rake. Or if you did something rake and it's actually Rails. So like, for example, Rails routes, it's rake routes. It's just nice. It's something that I think's needed for a fair while, but it's good to see that's finally here in Rails 5. The next is a snappier dev mode. So when you're working in development, essentially what would happen when there was a change, it would then check all the files for a change on every request. But now we've got an invented file system in Rails 5, which is awesome. So what does this mean? Basically, it will only reload the files that have changed on each request. So if there's no files changed on the request, nothing happens. If there's two files that have changed on the request, between the request, then it'll only execute those two files or look over them. So that's going to show a huge speed boost in dev in that regard. So you might not have noticed it. Some people might not have noticed it, but when you actually play around with this, it's a huge speed boost, a huge speed boost. One of my favorites, though, is the Rails APIs being merged into Rails. Now, with the advent of, say, like Ember and React and this whole JavaScript front end that's seemed to be happening and exploding lately, being able to create an API that those communicate with is really important, and being able to use Rails to be our API has been fantastic. It's very quick to develop a nice full-featured rich API with all the bells and whistles with Rails. Now you can just do it all in the one package. Previously, you had to use the Rails API gem. If you wanted a really nice, solid, thin API client from Rails but still have all the features of Rails, it's now built in. So you just, I believe when you create a new project, just add TacTac API. And boom, you're ready to go. It'll set up all the defaults for an API, all the generators. So it generates the better scaffolding in terms of the controls and things like that for you for APIs. So that's pretty massive. And I think that's very, very exciting because we're going to see a big shift to using JavaScript front ends and then connecting to some kind of API. So this keeps it kind of relevant. But in saying that, though, Action Cable. So this is kind of be their way of using WebSockets, and I believe it does do a fallback with no WebSockets. I need to confirm that. But essentially, you can do this kind of real-time stuff in Rails now very easily. There is a little bit of boilerplate. David Hanemeyer Hansen released a 20-odd minute video of showing how to use Action Cable, just doing a simple chat application, which works really, really well. I think it's a bit of a game changer. I think David's always been kind of right, as much as a lot of people like to not kind of agree with what he says, but later on it's like, well, yeah, actually he was right. He's got a lot of great foresight into where things are going with web and frameworks and things like that. So Action Cable, really awesome for essentially using WebSockets. There's a lot you can do with it. Definitely check out the video. I left a link in the show notes for that one. To kind of go along with that is applicationcontroller.render. So basically, it's mainly made to work with Action Cable. There's probably some other uses, but it allows the Action Controller renderer to render partials as strings. So this is nice because when in Action Cable, when there's a request, you can actually grab a partial, say like a comment partial or something like that, a message partial, and then just bring that in and render it as a string. And this gives you this kind of templating and pushing it out, so it kind of acts like your JavaScript front-end kind of stuff, but happening on the Ruby side, thanks to WebSockets. So they kind of go hand-in-hand. So that's kind of tied to Action Cable, so I'm not going to quite say that's a top five-ish feature. It's kind of complementary to Action Cable and necessary. A huge one, though, is where.or. This is fantastic. So Active Record can now do, so let's do object.where, you know, something equals something, then .or, object.where, something equals something else. This is really nice. So, for example, if you were doing, let's see, like a blog post, you could do like post.where title equals this.or, where title equals something else. Like, you can chain these ors, so you want to, you know, if this is correct, or if this is correct, or if this is not correct and this is not correct, you know, you can do anything you want there. But being able to do an or via the actual Active Record API is really, really nice. So you're moving less away from having to do these things in SQL in your where statements or your where, in your where commands or anything like that. So it's nice that you've actually got a native API for that now. Couple other things to touch on now. That's kind of my big list. These are a few things which are quite nice. So belongs to has it's a sane default now. So it's required by default. So if you have a belongs to, that relationship is now required. This is really good for data integrity. Some people might be like, oh no, I like it to be optional. You can still do it optional. So all you're doing is passing an optional true, and it'll go back to the previous behavior that you had. So hopefully you've got tests in place and it'll get picked up when you do the upgrade to Rails 5. But yeah, this should certainly help with any kind of areas where things were going a little bit wrong in terms of keeping your data integrity nice. So yeah, check that one out. I think it's quite nice. It's very simple. There's nothing to do. Only if you want to make it optional, you have to do a little bit extra, which very, very simple. Won't take you long. A couple minutes and you get all your models updated. The next thing is Turbolinx 3. Now, I've never really been a fan of Turbolinx. I've always found I've had issues working with it. But Turbolinx 3 is kind of addressing some of those issues. So it's respecting redirects and replacing content on a redirect, which is kind of nice. You can transfer elements from page to page along with their state using the data Turbolinx permanent data attribute, which is good things for like navigation and things like that. They've also fixed up a bunch of other stuff there. So I'm willing to give it another try and just see how it goes. I've just found that you have to check for ready state and change state and then execute a function, and that just got annoying. Not so bad, seeing as lately the project's been working on, we've moved to our own JavaScript front end, so it's not really touching Turbolinx, but yeah, it gets annoying. So we'll see. Hopefully that this will be a lot better. The next one, which it does come in handy, I find I do use this feature quite a lot, and it's good that it's kind of native in there. It has secure token. So it creates easy, like very, very easily creates random tokens for you. So this will save you having to have your own method to generate one. So things like an invite token or a confirmation token, it can allow you to simply just specify it on a field and boom, off it goes. You can add that, and you can also regenerate it. So you just tack on to the field that you want, just regenerate underscore and then whatever, and that will regenerate a new token for you. I believe it does the update and everything as well for you. So it's quite nice there. A lot of apps that we're building these days do generally use some kind of token like that. So for me personally, I think it's awesome. Certainly going to be able to remove some code there that I don't really need. So that'll be awesome. Last but not least is the attributes API. So what this does is it's like an auxiliary to your active record models and allows you to define custom attributes for those models, or you can override existing attributes. So it basically allows you to define things like if you take money, for example, and you want to default it from one format to another, it's quite nice. It can automatically convert that. So yeah, fantastic there. But that's essentially it for my top five-ish Rails features. This is kind of just about all of them, but the top five-ish were kind of the ones I spoke of initially. That's the no more rate commands, Snappier dev mode, Rails API, Action Cable, the where or, and then of course the Ruby 2.2.2. There's some really fantastic things in there in terms of essentially a mixed in try operator, but I'll let you figure that one out for yourself. A little bit of homework there, some cool stuff there. So you can eliminate doing like say if user and user dot role equals bar, like you can just combine that into one. I'll leave you to find out the missing piece there. Yeah, so that's essentially it for those. There's some articles I've linked to in the show notes. I've got Nathan Beckel has a great post on the Rails 5 features. Intercity Up from Intercity. They've got some great upcoming changes in Rails 5. Then you've got SitePoint has another one. Krypton Labs, there's a bunch of them. I've added some links there and you can go give it a thorough review. That's essentially it. I'd love to know what you're excited about and what features you think are going to be the best part of Rails 5. I'd really love to know, so do send a tweet at CodaCatchUp on Twitter. You can send an email through to CodaCatchUp@gmail.com, or you can even leave a comment on CodaCatchUp.com for this episode. Now, if you do have a spare moment, please, I'd love if you could just do for me a quick rating and a review on iTunes. It helps me figure out, you know, what your thoughts are on the show, how you're finding it, and it also gives some visibility to other people who want to potentially or will potentially get some benefit from the show, so it gives some more visibility. I'd really appreciate that. But other than that, we'll catch you in the next episode.